dated 1780. So we will start with Nestor's. But before that, let me probably deal with apologies. We do have an apology from Honorable Stolle, who has apologized for this meeting because he's attending another meeting. We do have an apology from the MEC from Northwest, who couldn't join us to lead the delegation from Northwest Province because she's got a bereavement. But she sent a written apology. I do know that I spoke to the MEC of Gauteng. I'm just dealing with that so that when Gauteng comes later, we know. I spoke to the MEC of Gauteng yesterday, who also apologized because he's having a public meeting with the community of Alex today around the issue of the property. So I then granted him that he can abstain himself. Honorable Lungi Gcabashe and Honorable Memezi have just sent messages now. And Honorable Bam, their bus is running late, but nonetheless, we're not going to wait for them. We will start. They will catch us on the way. I'll hand over to the DG to deal with the introductions, and then we then go straight to the first presentation, which will be the Northwest. Mr. Changa, over to you, sir.
Good morning, Chair. Morning, honorable members and colleagues. I'm accompanied by my colleagues from the department. This portfolio of business planning falls under Joseph Shabane, who's sitting next to me. He has worked tirelessly with the team from Northwest and the team from Gauteng. I was reliably informed, Chair, that the HOD is on the way. HOD from Gauteng is sitting in the traffic, and she's going to join us soon. I think my job will be made much easier today because they are here to account for themselves and to present their business plans. The business plan, Chair, is a performance agreement for HODs. If they haven't signed their performance agreement, the only way to hold them accountable is to look at the targets in that business plan. And if those targets are not achieved in the end of the year, you simply go and look at the annual report and see what is it that was promised by the province and what is it that has actually been achieved by the province. So we treat the business plan and the provincial APPs as performance agreements for the HODs. The HOD of Northwest is here and he's going to lead us. We will take questions, all of us, but he's going to lead us in presenting that business plan. He's accompanied by his team, and I'm going to ask the HOD to introduce the team. We also have colleagues from the ministry sitting over there, Chair. I'm not going to introduce them. I think we all know them. I'll simply ask the HOD chairperson to lead us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Didrin. We will then hand over to the HOD. Remember, colleagues, we did have the business plan overall, the high-level one presented by the National Department to us. But we took a decision that it is important that we interact with provinces so that we can have a sense and understanding of what's going on. This decision stemmed from our discussion when we were discussing the business plan presented by the National Department. So I'll hand over to the HOD for Northwest, who will then introduce his team and then start with the presentation. What do you say?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and to honorable members of the committee. DG and colleagues. My name is Pihari Ephraim Motoko. I'm the HOD for local government and human settlements in the Northwest Province. And I'm accompanied by my team, whom I will introduce. The first person is Mr. Vusi Bidi. He's responsible for housing development and he's an acting director in that position. And I'm also with Mr. Mashabani, who is the director responsible for planning. And I'm also with Mr. Tabile, who is a regional director, but he is also our focal person on military veterans because we were not doing very well in that area, so we decided to appoint somebody who will be the focal person for military veterans. So that is the team that is from Northwest, the chairperson. I'm going to be presenting the 2017-2018 business plan as has been presented to National and that has been approved. My presentation will cover the summary for 2017 to 2018 and will also give the MTSF summary of plan targets for 2017-18. Regional breakdown of the plan targets, provincial summary of project readiness, provincial summary of title deeds, plan targets per program, revitalization of distressed mining communities, catalytic projects, other programs, the cash flow, and the breakdown readiness matrix, and also the operational capital budget. But at the end, I'll also touch on some of the challenges that we faced during the year 2016-2017. The summary of our annual business plan is as follows. The total budget is 2.1 billion, and we have broken it down in terms of regions. Bojanala, we are going to be spending 697,576,000, and out of this we'll produce 1,600 sites and 4,178 units. And the total percentage of the budget that will be spent in Bojanala will be 32% of the entire budget. Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, we have budgeted 526,661,000 for 2,344 sites and 2,640 units, and that takes up 24% of the budget. Dr. Ruth Homusi Mompati is also one of our districts. We have budgeted 393,630,000 for 800 sites, 2,557 units, and that makes up a total of 18% of the budget. And for Ngaka Mudiri Mulema, we have budgeted 481,913,000 for 500 sites, 3,243 units, and it takes 22% of the budget. And for OPSCAP, we have budgeted for 68,920,000, which makes up 3% of the budget. And for the enrollment with NHRBC, we have budgeted 17,979,000, which makes up 1% of the budget. In summary, we have planned for 5,244 sites, 12,618 units, and the total budget, as indicated, will be 2,186,639,000, and we intend creating total housing opportunities of 17,862. And if we move on to the plan targets for UIST, which is your upgrading of informal settlements, this is where the bulk of our budget is going to. And the total allocation for this program is 1,024,286,000. And the new individual units, the total budget allocated for this program is 122,644,000. The CRUs, we have budgeted 39,691,000. Social and rental housing, we have budgeted 128,734,000. For fleet, we have budgeted 7,912,000. And rural housing, we have budgeted 701,853,000. And the totals is that all these programs, they make up 2,025,120,000. And then we also have budgeted for a military veterans program. We budgeted for 205 units, an amount of 38,540,000. We budgeted for title deed backlog eradication. And we have budgeted 24 million for that. And the new title deeds, we have budgeted 5,960,000. And for the acquisitions of land parcels, we have budgeted 12,119,000. So this is the summary of the plan targets. And the regional breakdown, I have already done this. I don't know if I should repeat, but I think members have this in their package. And in terms of the project readiness, we have the following in the slide that is on the screen. We've got green depicts projects that are ready for construction and where the contractors are already on site. And orange, if I'm not colorblind, reflect projects that still require ACM processes. And then blue is the projects that are under planning. And in summary, we'll realize that we've got 57% of our budget that are ready for construction or are already at construction stage. And then we have 37% of our projects that are still within the ACM processes. And we have 6% of our projects that are still under planning. And the totals are still 5,244 for sites, for units 12,618, and the total budget is 2,099,780,000. And we also have project revitalization of distressed communities. For sites, we've got 1,433 sites. For units, we have 4,164 units, and they make up 63% of the projects in mining towns that are either construction level or ready for construction. And we have 1,558 sites that are at a procurement stage. And then 1,362 units that are also at procurement stage. And that makes up about 33% of the projects within the mining towns. The total being 2,891 sites 5,526 units and a budget of 97,944,000. And we also have catalytic projects. We have two catalytic projects in the province, in Matosana and also in Bojanala, Rustenburg area. And the sites there are 1,433 that are already at construction stage. We have 700 units that are also at construction stage, and we have 312 sites that are at a procurement stage, and 151 units that are also at procurement stage. The total is 1,745. The units 851, and the total budget there is about 226,287. The title is to be eradicated. We have a backlog post 1994 of 24,001, and then we have budgeted 29 million for it. The title deeds that are ready for conveyancing at this stage are 8,530, and confirmed beneficiaries are 11,609, and number of title deeds in township processes are 3,862. And these are targets per program. So upgrading of informal settlement, where most of our budget is, we've got 4,744, and the total allocation for this particular program is 1,051,566,000. And we've got RDP phase one, which is planning and services for informal settlements. It stands at 4,444 sites, for a budget of 254,660,000. We have RDP phase four, the substructure. I'll only go talk about those that have got money allocated to. We have a total of 5,960 units, and with a budget of 777,137,000. And we have the informal settlement upgrading, total size 300, total units 50, and the budget is, the total budget for both sites and units is 19,769,000. And we've got new individual subsidies that exclude rural, and here we've got total units 100, and budget is 12,777,000. We then have individual housing subsidies, which are non-credit linked. The total is 100 million. 100 units. Budget is 12,777,000. We have people's housing processes. And then we have budgeted for 88 units at a cost of 11,261,000. And then we have consolidation subsidies. We have not budgeted for anything there. But social and rental housing, including CRUs, we have budgeted for 1,085 units, and the budget is 168,425,000. We then have social housing, capital grant for rental housing. The total units there is 1,008, and the budget is 128,734,000. Then we've got CRUs that are under construction for total units being 77, at a budget of 39,691,000. And rural housing, we have 5,243 units, and the budget is 684,656,000. And the budget for site is 17,197,000. The total allocation 701,853,000. Farm workers assistance program, we plan for 300 units at a cost of 38,081,000. Rural housing, we have a total size of 500 at a budget of 17 million. Total units 4,943. And the budget is 646,575,000. For flips, we've got 92 units, and the budget is 7,912,000. The planned targets per program will continue. The subtotal of the provincial specific programs, which are new opportunities and sites, we have allocated 120,868,000, and the total national MTS of targets, total size is 5,244. The budget is 284,946,000. The units is 12,618, and the budget for the units is 1,668,848,000, and the total is 2,074,662,000. We have not budgeted for immediate sales in programs, and the total is as reflected. Total size 5,244, total units 12,618, and total budget 2,074,662,000. I will not go through this one because I have also already covered it in one other slide. And in terms of revitalization of mining towns, we are being specific. For Khetleng, we have planned for 414 housing units at a budget of 54,515,000. For Madibeng, we have planned 467 sites for 721 units at a total of 147 million. For Matosana, we have planned for 1,291 sites at the cost of and the units at for 1,932, and the total cost is 364,612. For Moses Kotani, we have planned for 875 units only. Moses Kotani is a rural area, so there are no sites here. And then the budget is 135,331,000. For Rustenburg, we have planned for 1,433 sites, and the units is 1,584, and the total budget is 1,227,977,000. So the total budget for revitalization of distressed mining communities 979,441,000. And the catalytic project that I alluded to earlier, we have a catalytic project in an area called Bukamoso, it's in Bojanala, in the Rustenburg area. And we have planned for, the total plan for size is 700. We've got two projects going on, the other for size. The other one is for 716, and the other one is for 717 sites. I think it will give you 500 and something. And the total budget for each for 716 is 31,830,000, and for 717 is 31,874,000. And the total units planned for this current financial year for this area is 700 at a cost of 89,525,000. For Matosana, we have planned for 312 sites at a budget of 13,680,000. And then we have planned for units, 151 units, with a budget of 19,328,000. In terms of other programs requiring ministerial approval, we have budgeted for 25,119,000, and then other projects which include NHBRC social housing operational support and accreditation, we have budgeted 146,713,000, the total being budgeted for units being 121,832,000. And our cash flow is as reflected there. We budgeted for 25% in the first quarter, in the second quarter 28%, fourth quarter 24%, and the fourth quarter 23%. The third quarter 24% and third quarter 23%. The breakdown of our original metrics, the projects under construction are 109 at a budget of 1,161,000,000. Individual subsidies are four at a budget of 12,777,000. Military vets, 10 projects at an amount of 38,540,000. At the procurement, we got 46 at a cost of 665,000,000. Bulk services, we've got 5 at a cost of 96,000,000. Planning, 48 at a cost of 76. Pre-planning, we've got 57, and we did not budget for anything there. The land purchase, we've got 3 projects at a cost of 12,119,000. Social amenities, we have 2 at a cost of 13,000,000. And conveyancing, we've got 4 at a cost of 24,000,000. And the OPSCAP, we budgeted for 86,899,000. And the grant total is 2,186,000,000. This is a breakdown of the operational capital budget. I think the changes here is that we have not, from HSDG, we have not budgeted for women, youth, government Becky, and capacity building. This will come from the provincial budget. It will not come from the grant. Before I go to the last slide, I should indicate that we, for the previous financial year, we had encountered some challenges that actually we hope that we will not be encountering same this year. One such challenge is that we had problems with slow-performing contractors. We have problem with that we had put budget for some projects in volatile areas. We experienced a number of protests that actually hampered our projects in areas like Marikana. In other areas, there was a project that had to stop for about 180 days because the subcontractors and the contractor were fighting. We have had problems where some projects were interdicted by other service providers. So all in all, we encountered some problems that actually led to underspending for the 2016-17, as I indicated that I'm going to speak about that in the past. And then that underspending totals about 200 million. And one of the things that also led to that, when we discovered that we are not going to be able to spend on this particular project, we revised our business plan and submitted it to National for approval. And the approval unfortunately came in mid-February when the year was about to end. And we therefore could not utilize that, we were not able to utilize that 200 million. But we have done a business plan for the money that we did not utilize for 2016 that we are going to be submitting to National for approval. And I think it will somehow find its way to this committee. And on that note, Chairperson, I will pause here and wait for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, HOD. That's the presentation from Northwest Province on their business plan. Any additions? Maybe. Yes, did you?
Perhaps, Chair, the most important aspect of the business plan that we need to highlight is the readiness metrics, because it tells us the state of readiness of all the projects that they will be implementing this year. You would have noticed that there are projects to the tune of about 600 million rands that are going through procurement. And that's the high-risk area that we need to watch carefully, because procurement processes can take a very long time. And that's where we can easily get tripped and not meet our targets. I'm sure you would have seen that there's a significant number of projects up to 600 million rands which are going through procurement. The good news is that at least 57 of those projects, 57%, the contractor is on site. But that 600 million rands is significant, and that's what we'll be watching very carefully and very closely in the first quarter of the first quarter and the second quarter of the year. The rule, Chair, is that if we realize that is not mitigated properly by August, we are of the view that this risk has not been properly mitigated, we have to take hard decisions so that we don't lose the money and we don't dump the money at the end of the financial year. So the HOD's job between now and August is to make sure that all the high-risk areas are properly mitigated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. That's the presentation, colleagues, from the province of Northwest. Clarities, questions, comments, whatever you want to say. Honorable Ngadimeng, Honorable Malatsi, Honorable Khorai, and Honorable Memes.
Thank you, Chairperson. And let me first start by welcoming the presentation and the work that is showing that is going to happen. My question will be on the projects that are on the 00. For instance, the one on the IRDP phase number 2. Top structure, and the other one is there on the individual housing subsidies. I just want to check why are those target, those programs not budgeted for? Number two, on the issue of the title deeds, I see they are mentioning the title deeds prior 1994. Can maybe the presenter indicate to us they only have those pre-1994. What is happening about the recent ones, if ever they do have? What is the number? Because we want to check those backlogs on those title deeds, because they are just a pending issue. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think my question will just start at the end there, because I think the presentation as is and the business plan is very watertight and optimistic, to put it that way. But and the DG was slightly able to highlight on that. But I'm more curious from the department in terms of your history of the kind of challenges that you have mentioned. And many of these, for me, seem, you know, phrased as external factors, which basically outsources the difficulty of, you know, completing or delivering such projects, you know, to external factors. But surely you would have also
you know, developed interventions along the way in anticipation of, you know, the prospects of interruptions and difficulties as you have experienced in previous projects, and whether you have such, because, you know, to presume that everything will roll out smoothly might be a little too ambitious given the nature of the difficulties that you have had in the past and which you have also alluded to. So have you put in measures in place to mitigate those interruptions to your delivery program? And if so, what are those measures? And perhaps to also just add on to Honorable Ngadi Meng's question is, you know, I mean, I think you're one of the provinces that has had difficulty in terms of their delivery on the title deed program to date. You know, what measures have you put in place to expedite that? You know, because at one, from a national perspective, you know, they understand that there's a team there that is providing support to all provinces in expediting that process. But from provincial perspective, given the lessons that we presume you would have learned with the difficulties you've experienced to date, you know, what extra measures are you putting in place to ensure that, you know, there will be smooth delivery of those? So that we can also look at the business plan beyond the issue of just having targets on numbers and then amounts of money corresponding with that, so that there's a management tool to ensure that you ultimately deliver on the business plan. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malatsi.
Thanks, Chair. And thanks for the presentation. Some of my questions have been taken by my colleagues, but I just wanted to go to page 4, slide number. The slide does not have number 4, number 7. No number of projects under planning. Can you just explain why and just clarify to me? 2, I'm very interested, Chair, on the issue of the military veterans. I think some of have been asked by my colleagues, but I'll check that one. Just bear with me. I'm not sure about this slide number 5, after the total, but I see from after the total, the military veteran title this blockage eradication, title this new developments, but I see the 007. I just wanted just to explain that part, which is under the total of the slide. Chair, the slow performance of the contractors. What have you done as a department? Because you are measured by your work, and you have put the contractors that are doing the work very slow, according to you. I think they are on fault, and you must do something. I don't understand why are they slow. Maybe their business plan to you it was not clear that these contractors are not going to perform, because we ought to start there and check when they apply, whether these people are capable of doing the work for a particular time. It's very important. 2, Chair, the infighting between the contractor and subcontractors. It's an everyday to each and every province and the municipalities. That particular problem. It's not new. And you seem to fall into the same trap. What are you doing with that? Because you can go to KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Gauteng. This is happening, and it's everywhere. And do you have something that you can do for that issue? Because it must stop. Because you are the one who giving them those contractors the work. And on the issue of underspending of that 2016-2017 2 million, when are you going to submit to National? Did you already submit it? I'm waiting for the answer. What is the answer? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. Gurai. Honorable Mimes?
Chair, I think I must start by apologizing to the committee. The weather patterns, I think it has tricked even the bus drivers that are taking us here. So, I thought I must be part of the team. and I joined the WIP, and we happened to, the traffic was not friendly to the driver. He did the best to take us early, but in spite of that, joining my colleagues from where I've found, and I've also perused the presentation, if I take it from the DG, because I think that is what is also giving us hope, because the National Department's duty is to ensure that the money that is transferred to the provinces is well spent, and the problems should be anticipated. I agree with my colleague next to me that we should not pretend these problems are new. We should anticipate them. So, which means, HOD, you have a duty with your team. I guess you can't work yourself alone. Your team, you should anticipate, which means when you give contract, you must also supervise, give assistance, anticipate. Even your contract must have escape clause. If this happens, this is what will happen from day one. Infighting, this is what my colleague was saying, infighting can be prevented when you manage their relationship. If you stay away from them, you say, but I born, then Ulwan Savana Babat. So, which means you have a duty to mediate, but you start early by the contracts. Look at the contracts, how do they work? If you don't want to be involved, you'll be forced, you'll lose your contract. I think, remember, where I did speak to that, but is where you are lazy to do the work. Unana ore mudimo utatusa. But God does not assist in making contracts watertight. You must make contractors and subcontractors work well in the construction of the contracts. So please don't want us to do work for yourself. Because we can prevent some of these things. Even infightings are a result of the environment that is made. If you are there, you're not there. So I think help us to help you. We at least it's an area we don't want to be involved. But you, because it's giving problems. So I think even my colleague Soli, he agrees. I also agree from what I've heard since I came. The presentation is very optimistic. I agree with the Honorable Soli that the presentation appear also honest, which is also what we want as a portfolio members, that the presentation must be honest. So because you are owning up even to the past failures, so you are owning up, but you must be even more clear now that the budget we are giving you is going to be spent. The contractors are not going, you are not going to make them fight by stay away. Don't stay away, otherwise they will fight. So I think you must show that you have learned lessons by measures like Honorable Soli has requested. I also agree with that. But I'm happy you are also looking into the program such as the title did, because the biggest thing we want to see happening in all provinces is ditching out of title deed, removing stumbling blocks in the title deed. So I'm happy my colleagues also spoke to it. You can see that it's an important project because we are restoring dignity to our people. So to give them RDP houses or what do we call them now? Yeah, BNG. You see, so it's not enough if you don't give them that document. I'm also happy that you also covered the revitalization of the mining. So I'm happy you, because you are a mining province. So you spoke there. So it's a program that we are also following in your province. So we want it to move catalytic project. We have also said something. So we want clear movement. So maybe because this is only the business plan, so it's not really capturing more. So I think other things would have come clearer in other engagements. So from where I sit, taking what the DG have said, I think that already 600 million is on the procurement stages, and already there's a contractor on the site. I think that is comforting. So provided you are not going to lift your eye away from the ball and hope that God will help. You do help so that we don't fight with you. But I join Honorable Soli. The presentation is very promising. So it's giving us hope. So I rest my case, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mimis. And thank you, colleagues. Just before probably we hand back to the officials to respond, I think for me I'm very interested on the last part that the HOD spoke about, just like Honorable Malas raised. You put the blame on the underspending of the previous financial year of 200 million squarely on the slow performing contractors, on the volatile areas, on the projects that have been interdicted. Maybe just for our own comfort, it would be very interesting to hear what then processes have you put in place to make sure that those don't then happen again. What is it that you're gonna do to make sure that there is no slow performing contractors? What is it that you are dealing with in terms of making sure that the volatile areas are managed? They don't therefore delay the contractors. I just have an interest. And what is it that we will be doing as the province on those projects that have been interdicted? By the way, have they been interdicted now? What's happening at this point in time? Because I think that's what you said when you were trying to explain the underspending of the 200 million. It's critical for us because we don't want to come back here next year and be told that, you remember, Chair, this is what we said we have a problem with, and we couldn't deal with this problem. That's why we still have another underspending. We just want to have the processes that have been put in place to make sure that we don't have the same situation again. My other area, that's an interest area. In areas that we normally go to and in other provinces, we normally meet up with projects that go on and there is no, the building is going on. Sometimes beneficiaries have not been identified. In other areas, projects go on and there are no services. And I'm just interested to hear that in the Northwest province, we don't have those kind of situations. If there are, what is it that we are doing so that we deal with these issues? I'm raising the question because the province will be coming to Northwest very soon to do oversight, and we would want to come on the ground and not find situations that we have found in other provinces. That because when we do oversight, it's to learn and be able to then anticipate problems in other provinces and be able to deal with them in advance. So I just want to find out if you don't have those challenges, and what is it that you're going to do to make sure that we don't sit with problems which will then affect the performance of the province in this financial year. One area that I wanted you to clarify for me, I see in the slides, but I'm not sure which one, you talk about enrollment with NHBRC. You put 17 million on enrollment with NHBRC in the budget. If you can probably explain that for me. I'm not sure what it means, because I thought enrollment with NHBRC is embedded within the contractors and the projects. Maybe if you can just unpack that for me and so that we understand what it means in a nice way. I couldn't I couldn't understand it in detail. Maybe it's me and the weather today, as Honorable Memezi has put it. DG, in his last words, he talks about the fact that you have about 37% of the projects that still, in terms of the readiness matrix, that are still in the business, that are still, they need the SCM processes and the process dealing. So, and we are already started with this financial year. I just want us to have a sense of this. You said if you're not colorblind, they are yellow. I think those are the yellow ones. I just want to have a sense of how long the budget there, which is about 769 million, 37% of those projects. Because I think the 57% we are fine, they are on site, work is going on there. And I think I agree with DG, where there's going to be a delay or where we're going to have a challenge is these ones that are 37%, that the SCM process is still going on. How long though is gonna, that is going to take? So that we don't sit here and you come back to us and say, but we did tell you, portfolio committee, that we've got only 57% that are running. These ones that are not running, this 37%, maybe unpack it for us a little bit so that we have a sense of where the process is and so that we can have that sense of comfort. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I will respond to some of the issues raised and my colleagues will help me to respond to others. I will start with the issue of the issue of the what is going on the ground in terms of the infightings and so forth that I mentioned. I think I must admit that maybe as a province we have been very weak in terms of social facilitation, because all these things that we are experiencing comes from maybe a proper social facilitation. It might mean that we have not been doing enough, engaging with councillors and with municipalities might not have been enough, and that is an area that we are going to improve. Because as I'm sitting here, just before this meeting started, I also received a message that one of the serviced areas in Bukamoso that I mentioned is being invaded by communities. So it says that we have not really done enough social facilitation. But these are some of the problems that I think have to be dealt with on a day-to-day basis. We don't just deal with them at once. So that is an area that we are going to improve. And in terms of the military verse, okay, I think the question here was about the numbers. We'll be building about 205 military veteran houses. We have already have a contractor on site in Mahikeng, and then we are going to proceed with others. But the good thing about military vets is that we have managed to resolve the problems that we have had previously. We have interacted with the Department of Military Veterans, and we have ironed out all those problems. So basically, we are on course. We have appointed a person who's focusing on that particular program, who is driving the program. So we believe that the plight of the military veterans will be addressed going forward. The slow performing contractors, yes, it's a problem. But what we have done is that we have revised the contracts. We have revised all the contracts We have included punitive clauses on the contracts. We have terminated some of the contractors that it was clear that they did not have capacity. And we are capacitating others, like some of this, most of them are actually newcomers in the construction industry, and women constructors need a special attention. But the other thing about why they are slow is not necessarily their own making. It is because of the terrain in which they are working. Our province is a dolomitic province. So most of the areas are dolomitic. In the process, there will be some interruptions by geotech and so on to say, do this extra, some extra work and so forth. So there are a number of issues. So it's not all of them are actually because of they are lazy, but it's because of other problems. And in terms of those contractors, those projects that were interdicted, they managed to have an out-of-court settlement and they are back on site. So that problem has been resolved of the contracts that had interdicted one another. That problem has been resolved. The other question was about the question that I have to also respond to before I give over to my colleagues would be the issue of beneficiaries and the problem that were no services, that were implemented without services. Indeed, it's a problem in the province. Some of the projects were approved and implemented, and only at implementation stage did we realize that there are no beneficiaries. But we are dealing with that. We are no longer approving projects if we have not yet dealt with the issue of beneficiaries. We do a pre-beneficiary assessment before we can say this project is ready for implementation. And also, we also had projects, I can mention two, that were implemented without services being installed, and that also held us back. They were part of the revised business plan that we submitted last year that I alluded to. But it is also a thing of the past. I think, if I must confess, because the DGCA, if I'm not saying this, he will say it, is that the province has been very notorious about not following the project readiness matrix. So some of these projects that I'm talking about were as a result of not following on the project readiness matrix. As at this particular moment, we are very religious in terms of project readiness metrics, where we make sure that every document that is necessary is there, is available. For an example, one of the projects that we implemented, that we appointed, but could not implement was one where the municipality said, no, we have done the work, the documentation is there, but after we have appointed, then we wanted the plans from the municipality, there were no plans. So those are some of the things that we have dealt with in this current financial year, and that we are going to make sure that they remain part of the processes going forward, because we have learned from them. I will request colleagues to respond on other issues that I have not responded to. But just to say, on the issue of the 37%, I think at the moment that would be less, because some of the projects we have already, there are some appointments, but I think about two or so regions have already submitted their projects. I think we are at the finalizing stage, so maybe by the end of this quarter, that figure of 37% would have changed, but we have actually moved, so far as the appointments are concerned, 37%. So, I'll request colleagues to respond on some of the issues.
They must rescue you. You've been talking a lot. Yes, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members, as well as our principals, DG and TDG. The title deed restoration program, the department, the province did not achieve those set targets, and we are definitely not doing well in terms of achieving those quarterly targets that have been set. The challenge that has been affecting us has always been township establishment and townships that are not being proclaimed, which finally prevents a transfer of title deeds. What we've done so far is that COCTA has been engaged at the national level through the national department on, to assist with issuing of clearance certificates, which is supposed to be done by municipalities. We are basically clustered together in one department of the local government, which also falls under this department. So we have compiled a list of affected municipalities and sent it through so that we try and send the message home. We've also established a provincial steering committee with the national department, local municipalities, and the deeds office, which meets quarterly and reports to the national steering committee with all other provinces. I must say that the attendance on the side of the municipalities has not been forthcoming, which in a way also slows us down in what we want to achieve. But recently the department has met with the municipal managers at the municipal managers forum and outlined the challenges broadly that affect the departmental processes. And we drove it home that they are supposed to attend those and not to attend to title deeds, separately, because they do have some of the title deeds with them. So the department is also scheduling meetings directly at their respective municipalities to try and engage on specific challenges in trying to unlock these processes. We have also dealt with certain municipalities where we felt these processes could unlock some of the transfers where township establishment processes have not been completed. And we have taken the role of municipalities, for instance, like your Matlosana Extension 24, where we had to proclaim and assist with funds for that purpose so that it can yield title deeds. In addition to what the HOD has mentioned, in terms of internal factors that have affected the department, yes, indeed, we have experienced the challenges of contract management. This was largely as a result of taking out the punitive clauses on some of our contracts, because it actually allowed service providers to get away with murder easily. This was done quite some time back. We also have situations where in some of the contractors, even when they got paid, they do not pay their own subcontractors. And some of them, they would get destroyed as a result of this, because they have put in monies onto their own operations there. So it's there's an urgent need, really, to consider bringing back the cessionary route, where we would at least offset this kind of challenge by getting into contracts, either with the three of us, with the two, so that there are no problems if one has to be paid. We are also reviewing contracts with the accounting officer, with legal services, over and above the extension of time that has currently been granted, so that we do not put a place in, we do not stop the process. Like the HOD has mentioned, our intention is to really to terminate non-performing contracts. We have already started. We are also scaling down on these poor performing contracts. That's how we intend going with this. In terms of title deeds, I should also mention that 2,110 instructions have been issued to conveyancers in order to for us to can complete, and over 2,400 title deeds on backlog are ready to be handed over at municipalities, which says that our projections in terms of this quarter, in terms of a backlog, we had projected to deliver 4,000 title deeds, which are going to be lodged at this office either this week or the following week. I'll pause here. Sure.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Just to also add on the other questions that have not been answered. To start with, as well, on the issues of the title deeds, as to what are the numbers in terms of the new title deeds. As indicated in one of the slides, I think it's slide 12, we indicated that we have 5,960 new title deeds to be achieved for the current financial year. You take into consideration that some of the projects are within your rural areas, so you can't achieve title deeds there. Some are your social housing, as well as your CRUs. So we have taken that into consideration. So we have separated that. So out of that, then we will have that 5,960 that we will achieve as new with that backlog of 24,001. And then on the issues of the zero budget on the template, in actual fact, Chair, the template covers different programs in terms of housing program. So therefore, what we have done, we have allocated those projects according to the programs that we will be delivering as per the province. Some of the programs will find that they are not really applicable to us as a province within the Northwest, but we, instead of just removing that, we just opted to leave them there. But when you look at the breakdown of all the programs according to the budget and the summary that we have, the HOD have presented, it ties up to our intended target and delivery for that matter. You look at your issues of your informal settlements upgrade, your RDP phase one or so. So it shows that whatever we have allocated there, it speaks to that projects will only yield services, so which has no intentions of your top structure. Your top structure is, we have broken it down, that is separate, that is assisting directly to informal settlements upgrade, where you find that we have allocated it according to the relevant program. Which is within your phase four there, as well as your individual. So according to the program, so you'll find that we don't have issues of your individual subsidies on your credit link, but we only experience them on your non-credit link. So we can't allocate there anything out of that. So we also have that baseline that we focus on when we do our business plan in terms of that. So we can't budget on something that we have not even either achieved in throughout the previous financial years. So that is what we have based it on in terms of doing the business plan in terms of that. And other issues, Chair, is that we, as well as the province, we looked at what led us not to also perform the previous financial years. So we did as well a recovery plan as a province. That is a tool that we work on, though we might not show it here.
that it guides us to keep focus, to say where we lost track the previous financial year and what is it that needed to be done for us to ensure that we don't repeat the same challenges of the previous financial years. So we looked at it at the either be at individual projects that either they are performing or not performing, what are the challenges there individually to what even the HOD have alluded to, be it at issues of your beneficiaries, be it at the issues of your infrastructure that is available, whether to have actual communication confirmation as the portfolio of evidence that we receive from the municipalities in terms of that. So that's what we looked at with that information. It assists us to say that we will be able to recover from the situation of the previous financial year. We also, there was a question around the projects of why we have less numbers under planning. So our projects on planning, in actual fact, they focus more on getting us ready to the outer financial years. Like we focus on projects that will require, on areas that will require your either township establishment, geotech investigation studies, so that we prepare ourselves that come the next financial year, we know that those areas where we intend to deliver, we have them ready. So that is why we have less numbers in terms of that. But you'll find that due to the nature of the province being rural, but there are quite a number of villages that are targeted with that budget that is reflected to them. So that is why we that's what we have actually focused on in terms of that one. Thanks. So the enrollments, in actual fact, we do pay NHBRC a certain fee for your home enrollments as a department over and above what the contractors are also enrolling, because of they are also affiliated or they are registered with the NHBRC in terms of their either indemnity or whatsoever the control compliance criteria that they have to conform with NHBRC. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think let's hear the last word from the National Department on the issues raised. I would also like to hear how the National Department hopes to assist the province around the issue of the social facilitation, which they put it themselves that they are not very strong on it, and that's why there is always some protest and on the ground. As you respond, if perhaps you can just comment on that as well.
Madam Chair and members, good morning. Probably three areas, Madam Chair, just to highlight in our conclusion. I suppose, from the National Department's perspective, this tool, the readiness matrix, is probably the single point where we focus most of our attention. Just so that we are able to zero in, together with the province, to say, this project that you are planning to implement in this year may or may not be ready. And we then stress test those elements that point to the project not being ready. So in the case of the Northwest Province, those projects that are beyond planning but are at procurement stages, we find comfort in the fact that procurement process is already initiated. What is left then is to finalize with the contractor so the contractor is on site. But we are very well aware that this is the area that is likely to trip the province, and therefore we want to pay special attention to get those projects off the procurement so that there's a contractor on site going forward. Madam Chair, there are three steps measures that we've implemented. The committee would recall the minister's insistence that on the question of title deeds, there is no longer opportunity to look elsewhere, but for the national department to step forward and assist the provinces. So in addition to the provincial process, we now have a national task team of conveyancers that is meant to strengthen the hand of the provincial department in addressing this problem. Clearly, the manner in which the question of titling has been dealt with perhaps did not yield the results for various issues, but we are beyond understanding the excuses now and the challenges, but to confront the challenges. Hence the task team, we've signed enabling agreements between the DG, the HOD, and the conveyancers to go in and do the work. We have to keep track of that, not quarterly, but every month, just so that we do not wake up at the end of the quarter and say, well, things did not happen. Madam Chair, insofar as the question around this conflict between contractors and so forth, I suppose we will pay special attention to those issues with the province, because quite clearly contract management is a challenge that can easily be dealt with so that it doesn't impede service delivery. And lastly, from our side, Madam Chair, we have pointed to the province and will be providing to the province additional support in terms of program delivery facilitators, just so that we don't, both ourselves and the province, we don't wake up at the end of the quarter and find things did not happen, but rather we want to be able to be on pulse. As issues arise, then they are somewhat immediately attended to. So we are quite comfortable, Madam Chair, that cautiously so, because until the job is done, you can't rest. So that's the approach we are taking. The province has been quite open to the challenges that they face, and therefore it makes it easier to then collaborate in finding the solutions. It won't be easy, Madam Chair, in the sense that on the ground dynamics, as members would know, require very robust processes to be enacted. But as things stand, we have a plan in hand. We are mindful of the risk. So cautiously, we are pressing ahead. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Shabane. DG, you are covered. Thank you so much. Thank you, Northwest. As we are preparing to call Gauteng forward, we just want to say to you, just know that you are actually now on our radar. Unfortunately, your understanding made us to have an interest on you. So you are one of those provinces that we are watching very closely. and therefore, you might visit this part of the country more often than you want this year. And we might visit your part of the country more often than you would want to welcome us. Unfortunately, just that is just based on the fact that we would want to see progress on the ground and more improvement around areas that you yourself have identified as weakness. But thank you very much for the business plan presentation. And also, thank you very much for being upfront about some of your challenges and the weaknesses that you're dealing with, so that at least we are all of us here as people interested in progress and service delivery on the ground. We try to deal with those in a collective manner. Thank you so much. Gauteng, please come forward. As they come forward, you can take that 3-minute body break so that they then get ready. And it is 3-minute body break. And as soon as they are ready, I will start with the next presentation. Thank you so much. Thank you. Very much, colleagues. The second province that is going to present to us its business plan for 2017-18 is Gauteng, the province that is taking the biggest cut of our budget. Let's hear how then are they going to utilize it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Over to you, HOD, and you might start by introducing your delegation and yourself to those that don't know you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Good morning. My name is Matilda Kasela. I'm HOD, Human Settlements in Gauteng. I am with Acting Deputy Director General for Regional Coordination and Property Management, Ms. Odiswam Kalali. And I'm also with the Regional Head responsible for Ekuruleni, Ntate Stanley Lubeng. We also acknowledge DG and Ntate Lishabane team. Good morning. May I proceed?
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, this is our presentation of Gauteng. There might be slight changes, slight amendments on the presentation that we have, but they are not major. Very, very minor changes. In terms of our introduction, we're saying that this business plan is based on what has been allocated to us by National, which is 5.5 billion. The plan delivery is 19,799 stands and 35,112 units, and these include social housing. Amongst this number, we're also talking to the delivery of 1850 units at 184,636,623 million. There are also 912 CRUs which are being converted and upgraded in the business plan. This is a matter that we're still discussing with the National Department. This slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, gives a breakdown of the 552 that has been allocated to ourselves. We start by saying, in terms of individual housing subsidies, we've planned 100 units at 16 million. Housing finance linked individual subsidies, which is FLISP, we've planned on 4135 units at 222. I don't know if I should go through everything, Honorable Chairperson. So for financial intervention, we're saying that the subtotal is 13% of what we've been allocated, which amounts to 7599901.85 million. In terms of incremental housing programs, that accounts for 67.39% of the allocation, which is 18,999 sites, and units is 24,337, and that accounts for about 3.7 billion in terms of the allocation. Social and rental housing accounts for 7.88%, which is 2802 planned units, and the amount thereof is 435,619,980. In terms of rural housing, we're talking about farm worker assistance housing, which is a planned size of 200,565 planned units for a total of 7,494,380. In terms of rural housing communal land rights, we're talking about 200 planned units for an amount of 22,189,400. The subtotal thereof, Honorable Chairperson, is 97,133,240, which accounts for 1.76% of the total allocation. That, Honorable Chairperson, amounts to a total of 5,528, we have already pointed out, which is the total allocation from National. In terms of mining towns, we've got Khutsong, where we've planned 300 sites and 500 houses for a budget of 68,56130. Then we've also got Kokosi Extension 6, where we've budgeted for 500 houses at an amount of 51 million. And there's also professional fee, which amounts to 5 million. Simunye Extension 2, we've planned for 152 houses, which amounts to 16 million. Then we also have Beckers Dal. We've allocated 11 million for 115 houses, and we've allocated professional fees of a million. Western Area Burwa, which is also a mining town, we're planning on 120 housing units for 12 million. We've also planned for housing for military veterans. At this point in time, we're still doing professional work, and we've budgeted for 1.2 million. Mantyville, where we're dealing with construction of roads and storm water, we've budgeted an amount of 5.7 million. Sewer rehabilitation project in Beckers Dal, we've allocated an amount of 78.7 million. The link road and bridge from Beckers Dal still, we've budgeted 9.4 million. Construction of roads in Mohlakeng Extension 11, we've budgeted 561,971. Construction of roads in Mohlakeng still, we've budgeted an amount of millions. So the total that we've budgeted for mining towns is 264,163,641. In this slide, Honorable Chairperson, we're talking about other programs that we've budgeted for. And we're saying for UIFP, we've budgeted 429,468,155. And then we've budgeted 20 million for 167 units. New individual units, the size are 12,434 for an amount of 635. And then the total units are 115,14 for an amount of 1 billion. CRU, which is already under implementation, we've budgeted for 40 total units for an amount of 14,760. I think Honorable Chairperson and members will remember that at the beginning we did speak about 912 units, which, as we said, are still under discussion with National. Social and rental housing, we've budgeted 184,746 for 185,005. And then for police, 4135, we've budgeted an amount of 222,326,916. Rural housing, size 200 for an amount of 30 million, 765 units for an amount of 84 million. The total that has been budgeted for is 1,557 in terms of 16,621 housing units and 648 in terms of size. For military veterans, the number that we've allocated is 675 at an amount of 74.889 million. Title deeds, pre-1994, we've budgeted an amount of 8,332, and for a backlog of post-1994, we've budgeted an amount of 91 million. New developments, there's an amount of 27 million which has already been budgeted for. And for land acquisition, we've budgeted an amount of 35 million for Fochville and Frankenwald, which is next to Marlborough, next to Alex. For Ekurhuleni, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member, we've budgeted an amount of 901,851,627. For the Joburg region, we've budgeted 935,780,500. For Tshwane, we've budgeted an amount of 956,425,815. West Rand District Municipality has been budgeted an amount of 1 billion Sidibeng District Municipality, there's an amount of 943,774 which has been budgeted for them. Social housing across all regions is 184, which we've already spoken about. SLIS is 71 million. Title deeds, there's 100 million that has been set aside. For asset maintenance is 64 million. Ops cap, we've budgeted an amount of 210, which is 4% of the total allocation. And for NHBRC enrollment, there's a 40 million that has been set aside. We did talk to the issue of land purchases, which is 32 million, and that amounts to 5.5 billion. In terms of the military veterans, the plan targets for 2017-2018, was in Ekurhuleni, there's a total amount of 25, which is broken down into 15 from Zakane Extension 22 and 10 from Glavel. In Sidibeng, there's an amount of 225, which we've planned for, broken into Everton, Shaw Village, Sibukeng Extension 28, and Savannah City for 200. Joburg, we've set aside 70, we've planned for 70 units rather, 10 in Elias Mutualedi, 30 Lufereng, and 30 in Lehaye Phase 1. Tswane is 150, broken down into 15 Elmapias, 50 Soshanguve, and 50 Oliven Oat Bosch. For West Rand, there's a planned total of 205, 120 in West Doneria Burwa, 15 in Chief Mohale, 50 in Kahiso Extension 13, and Kutong, both Extension 5 and 6. It's 20, which gives us a total of 675 units. This Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members will give you a picture per program of the amount that have been set aside by ourselves. It's a breakdown, Honorable Chairperson, of what we've already spoken to. Planned targets per program, we're saying in terms of priority projects, new opportunities, and this talks to both sites and units, and housing units. There's a total amount of 600 in terms of sites, and the budget is 276,557,675. In terms of the housing units, we've budgeted 2148, and the amount thereof is 306,513,365, and the total allocation is 583,071,040. Provincial specific projects. There's a total number of units of 825 for an amount of 203,656,414. Subtotal for everything is 786,727,454. We've not budgeted for any emergency units, Honorable Chairperson. This slide talks to the project readiness of the projects that we have in the department. In terms of the list of the legends, green shows those projects which are ready, where the contractor and the PRTO are already on site. Amber will show projects where we still require SCM processes to unfold, and we also have issues of IPWs which are also being finalized. And then for projects under planning, we'll have blue. So in terms of the projects which are ready for construction, we've got 71% of them, the 71% being 7,585 sites and 25,461 housing units. The total budget for all of those, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is 3.7 billion. In terms of projects where we're still dealing with issues of procurement, we've got 12,214 sites and 7,801 units. And that accounts for 27% of our projects. Where the projects are under planning, that is 2% of what we have, and the amount is 101,386,295. Projects revitalization of address community. We've got 300 sites and 1120 units, which account for 234, 276, 016, which is 4%, which is also accounted for in the 100% that is above. And then in terms of issues which are still dealing with SCM processes, we've got 267 of those. The total, Honorable Chairperson, is 300 sites and 1387 units, and that accounts for 264, which is 5% of the total budget. Honorable Chairperson, I think it's common knowledge that we're also busy with a mega project. We're scaling up on the mega project and trying to scale down on our legacy project. So this slide gives an idea of some of the mega projects and the legacy projects that we're dealing with. So in terms of the Eastern mega project for 2017-18, we're going to be rolling out 2,915 sites and 2,278 units. In terms of Eastern legacy, for this current financial year, we're going to be rolling out 277 sites and 5,627 housing units. For Eastern, the total is 3,192 in terms of sites and 7,905 in terms of the housing. For Central Mega, the total is 3,178 for sites, 5,565 for housing units. For the Northern Mega, both Legacy and Mega, we've got sites 4,330 and 8,524 housing units. For Southern Mega, for both Mega and Legacy, for the Southern Corridor for both Mega and Legacy, we've got a total number of zero sites, and then we've got 1,017 housing units. And then the total for Southern is 3,949 sites and 5,901 in terms of housing units. Western Mega, Western Corridor for both Mega and Legacy, the total size is 5,150 and the housing unit is 5,635. So for total Mega, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for 2017-2018, in terms of sites, we will be rolling out 17,205 sites. In terms of housing units, we'll be rolling out 17,815. That's for Mega. And for Legacy, it will be 2,594 sites, 17,297 housing units. And the total thereof is 19,799 for sites, 35,112 for housing opportunities, and for FLIF, it will be 1,582 for the current financial year. This is a demonstration, Honorable Chairperson, of what we're talking about when we're saying we're scaling up on Mega and scaling down on the legacy, and that's for both sites and housing units. This slide talks to title deeds for pre-1994. In the district municipality of Joburg, the total site is 1765, Tswane is 384 for an amount of 691,200, Ekuruleni 1383, West Rand 578, Sidibeng 519 for a total of 4629. Post-1994, for Joburg, we're talking the number of 5508, Tswane 14655, Ekuruleni 21,947, West Rand 3,327, Sidibeng 5479, the total is 50,909 for an amount of 91,636,200 million. The current plan target for title deeds is 1633 for Joburg, 5805 for Tswane, 2229 for Ekuruleni, 2299 forward rand 3274 for Citibank. The total is 15,240 for an amount of 27,432. This is the provincial summary of title deeds to be eradicated and the sense of readiness. Deeds which are ready for conveyancing in 2729, pre-1994 it's 4629, post-1994 is 50,000. The cost implications are 99,000. Beneficiaries to be confirmed, we don't have any for pre-1994, 70,000 for post-1994, for an amount of 17 million. Number of title deeds in township establishment processes for post-1994 is 133,819. This, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is a demonstration of the mega and catalytic projects we have per municipality. So for the city of Joburg, we'll have South Hills, Riverside, Houtrand, Lufereng, Malibongwe Ridge, and Fleerhof. And for Ekurhuleni Metro Municipality, we have Chief Albert Luthuli in Extension 6, we have Zakane, Extension 22, we have Clayville, Extension 45, we have Leopold, and we have Emeka in Finiston. For Tshwane, we have Fort West, and we have Nel Mapias, Extension 32. In Citibank, we've got Savannah City, and then we've got Golden Highway Mega, and then we've got Buiketong and Obed Nkosi. In West Rand, we've got Chief Mohale, we've got Kokosi, Extension 6 and 7, and then we have West Doneria Burwa. These, Honorable Chairperson, are the planned sites and planned units and the budget for the mega and catalytic project. We've got South Hills, as we said, in Joburg, where we've planned 550 sites for a budget of 27 million, and the planned units are 100. For Riverside, which is also in Joburg, is 226 planned sites for an amount of 26 million. And then we've got 200, 410, and 140. For Houtrand, we've got 300 planned sites, 15 million, we've got 300 and 200 with those amounts. Lufereng, 30 planned sites, we've got planned units, house units, 250 for that amount. For Fleerhof, we've got 100 planned sites for 22 million and 100 units for 22 million. Leratong Vetborki, 828 planned sites, 365 housing units for 40 million. Ekurhuleni, for Chief Albert Luthuli, we've planned sites of 900 sites rather for 39 million, and we've got 450 units for 56 million. Zakane, we've got 1,165 sites at 49 million and 350 planned units at 39 million. Clayville, we only have housing units at 108 million. Helderweg and Daggafontein at that amount. We also have mega and catalytic projects in both Tshwane and Citibank, and those are the numbers and the amounts for them. And this is West Rand, where we've got Chief Mohale, Kokosi, as we said, and all of those, and for those amounts. Summary and conclusion, Honorable Chairperson, we are developing a trilateral agreement between ourselves, GPF, and HDA for the implementation of mega and catalytic projects. We're also trying to strengthen intergovernmental relations, Honorable Chairperson. DG always says to us, there is no other way of doing it except to plan and plan together with municipalities. So we've had a number of engagements with municipalities to ensure that we align both the USDG and HSD, and those have been going very well, Honorable Chairperson. Bus infrastructure is a very big issue. it remains critical in the successful investment of mega and catalytic projects. It's a very big issue. It's a big issue around areas like West Rand in particular and Piggy Bay. And I think for us to be able to roll out the mega project successfully, we will need an amount of about 3 billion. And we know that with our municipalities in some areas, they do not have the necessary resources for those. Depicted below are bulk cost estimates identified to support the mega projects in the second phases of implementation, which is what we're talking about, to say that for us to be able to roll out our mega projects successfully, we would need an amount of 3.4 billion to ensure that there is a bulk infrastructure. And in some instances, it's really just about the upgrading of bulk infrastructure. That's the end of our presentation. Thank you.
You seem not to have been ready for it to end. You look shocked when it ended. Was there a slide that
I was expecting a slide that says thank you and then says question.
Thank you so much for that presentation. Any additions from the National Department, DG?
Yes, Chair. Again, I risk sounding like a broken record. If we go back to the slide on the readiness metrics, the project readiness, you would notice that there's an amount of more than a billion rands that is going through your procurement processes. And that's your high-risk area. That's an area where we have to pay attention, because procurement processes take a little bit of time. If you can put it on a slideshow, if you look at it, that's 12,214 sites that you have to be delivered in this current financial year. 7,801 units, and if you combine the two, it gives you 27%, and that's 1.4 billion rand's budget. Now, the standard rule is that all of those procurement issues have to be sorted out before the start of the financial year, but we know where how this is coming from. That's why we're not very harsh on them, but we've had a series of meetings and we agreed that we need to keep our eyes on those procurement issues, because if you prolong that 1.4 for finalizing the supply chain processes on that 1.4 billion rand, by September we'll have to take some hard decisions, because we don't want to lose the money, but at the same time we don't want to do a dummy exercise towards the end of the financial year. So I would say, Chair, if there's one big risk area, it is that 27%, and that's one risk that has to be mitigated at least before the end of August. I think by August we should not be talking procurement issues for targets that have to be delivered in this current financial year. Otherwise, we will not be able to deliver those targets. But we agree with the presentation, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, DG. I suspect, therefore, that's where we are also being told in a quiet way that we should watch that when we go to our oversight, that's the question. When they come back here, that's the question we will ask with that 27%. But having said that, there's the presentation, colleagues. Clarities, questions, comments? There seems to be a sense of comfort. Everybody is happy with Gauteng. I'm impressed. Honorable Nganga Qabase, followed by Honorable Soli, followed by Honorable Memezi and then Honorable Khurai, in that order.
Now, thanks, Chairperson, and let me appreciate the presentation made by the HOD of Gauteng and the team, and the additions made by the DG. Having said that, Chairperson, I just want to note, before I get into details, that the National Department, I think some few weeks ago, they were before this portfolio committee, reporting on the performance of its department, the department's performance that includes provinces, where we observe that the Gauteng province had accruals amounting to 278 million. And that doesn't gel well with us in terms of the expenditure, the spending of the spending patterns of the Gauteng as a province. That results into lack of a service delivery in terms of meeting targets. That says to us, that's why we keep on seeing service delivery protests around Gauteng metros and other municipalities, but particularly to metros, that the low performance of metros, particularly Johannesburg and Tshwane, but Johannesburg, which is a economic hub of the province, it's worrying. If Johannesburg is lagging behind, and Johannesburg is being recognized internationally, so we can't falter in that area. And if I can just say, if you allow me, Chairperson, if I can just qualify what I'm talking about. The Johannesburg Metro, according to the national report on the financial year under review that we're dealing with, I'm just citing examples, housing and human settlements program, unspent 357 million. I'll leave roads, although they're important, but I'll leave them out because you might have a department that deals with that. Water, 30.8 million. Sanitation is 6.3 million. Electricity, 89.7 million. Well, I understand electricity and there is a department in the metro, but the sewage, that talks to the sewage, and human settlements must be seen leading in terms of coordinating, because you stand to benefit more than any other department in terms of the delivery of infrastructure for human settlements to a total human settlements establishment. Those roads, those water and sanitation, those stormwater control, that reticulation of electricity. Whether it's a reticulation, whether it's a connection, still impact negatively if there is no spending. And human settlements must push to the city managers to see the importance of making sure that they are hands-on in terms of various coordinating various departments that impact on the delivery of human settlements in a metro. And that will be done as much as the metro itself is supposed to do that, but it will assist a great deal for the province to make sure that is being happening by all time to time linking up through the MEC, with the HOD, with the city manager, and the MEC being able to link with the mayor and MMCs of human settlements. On coming to today's presentation, your military vets, you spend, you have a budget of professional fees, but you are not telling us because these military vets, the minister should have been completed the delivery of military vets. In fact, she did not meet her target. She did not meet her target. And as a result, because she did not meet her target, it means you are really dealing with a backlog in terms of military vets. But while you are dealing with a backlog, we are not stating which part of the professional fees covers what. Are the professional fees for the planners dealing with sites? What are the because some of the professional fees, some of the professionals are dealing with specific sites. I understand that those professional teams that you cannot quantify in terms of the numbers, but the number of them, your planner, your geotech, your engineers, they are specifically on site. You must be able to tell us what professional fees on how on what. The tag you did. Let me deal with the tag you did on slide on our pages. They are on page 9. The top slide. They deal with the beneficiary to be confirmed 70,000 post 1994. What you did not elaborate for the clarity that I need. Are you dealing with deregistration? Are you dealing with disputes? What is it that you are dealing with that makes up the total of 70,000? That's a huge number in terms of beneficiaries are you dealing with missing beneficiaries or housing sold illegally or deceased beneficiaries? What is it that you are dealing with in terms of that? We are pressing on these issues because the title deed is a very, very important issue to us, because it deals with the dignity of our people. It deals with the investment, a property in the world, and in South Africa is an investment. And for all along, for black people, we're unable to invest on our properties because we did not have a title deed. So in this day and age, at the 22 years of democracy, we can't be our people being suffering at the same. And your title deed on the township establishment. When you say on township establishment, are you on 133,000? So it means I take that you are dealing with individual units among various townships. I take that it's a total because you are dealing with title deed. So, what is it that made these delays? I tend to understand because I come from a metro. I used to work for a metro. I tend to understand, but when I try to understand, Neville always, when he responds, that it's not for an excuse that the problem are with town planning issues in terms of the opening of township register. But I will argue with him, unfortunately I'm arguing with him today because he's in the previous meeting, that he was in a metro, DG. Mervin was in a metro in Ebururé, and we have a backlog there. So now, really I understand, but I want you to tell us what is it, so that we are able to assist you. I'm in an understanding, because previously, when there were no norms and standards, the projects were done backward. So, and all the professional issues will be cleaned out and sorted out after the houses are already there and people are in the houses. I understand that, but you should tell us where the problem lies. And tell us, finally, Chairperson, because of those accruals of 2016-2017 that were under reviewed when we were reviewing with the National Department, you are giving us now that this is the budget and your target. What is it that you are going to do to prevent the previous situation of those high accruals of about 287 million? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I've got 2 points, and I thought the presentation will deal with it, because as the honourable member has indicated, there are two concerns. One is underspending, that also trickles into the metros, and that trend is consistent across, you know, the metros in Gauteng and, you know, the municipalities on HSDG. But also to get a sense of, you know, in recognition of these trends that have occurred in the past financial year and, you know, periodically occurred over the last couple of years, what are we going to be doing differently now going forward so that, you know, annually we don't encounter the same thing, so that you can showcase to us that you introspect and you've come up with ways that anticipate how you'll be able to manage the underspending trends. And again, the issue of under delivery on title deeds, you know, what have you developed a plan now that can show to us and convince us that, you know, you have taken cognizance of what the bottlenecks were previously, and now you are presenting to us something tangible that shows how you're going to meet, in fact, how you're going to deal with, you know, your failure to meet your own deadlines and also deliver consistent with the targets that are now set, so that over the MSTF period we can meet that that target, so that we don't shift the goalposts, you know, by amending the targets, but we actually develop plans that speak to addressing the targets that have been identified. Because ultimately a business plan speaks to a vision. It's a more deliverable tool that shows how we're going to use resources to align them with our plans. And both need to take into consideration where there have been gaps, and they must respond to those gaps. And, you know, it mustn't give the impression that it is done in an environment that does not take into consideration the under-deliveries that have happened previously. Because, you know, the impression we're getting now is, sure, we've got this, you know, great business plan that seeks to achieve all of this, and we see the resources, but it doesn't showcase in the areas where there were gaps how you're going to fill those gaps and then move forward consistently using the resources you have, so that you can, you know, there can be a parallel progress between the targets and the resources that are allocated to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Memezi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Welcome to the presentation and the people of Gauteng. Nice to see you in Cape Town. Maybe starting with the HOD, the fact that you didn't really dwell much on challenges is not really helping your presentation. Because, you know, when you deal with challenges, it makes us to understand whether you know where you are weak. But you're avoiding this. You present as if things are going well is a little bit of a problem. Polisa, indeed you are a team, Stanley. You are a team.
maybe then it forces us to remind you of your problems, which you are not mentioning. I think Honorable Munganga Gabasha has done that. I want to follow, but I think you'd have to do it because it's honorable and it's also giving us hope that you know what to fix. Because if you don't even know, it's clear you may not fix anything. So I think the chair, when he was introducing yourself, indicated that you are one province that is getting the bigger slice. You are one province that, in terms of the past, the department always rely on you to assist the numbers in the national picture. But now the worst thing, when it was presented, you are now doing the opposite of what Gauteng is known for. Now we're beginning to know Gauteng is not assessing the numbers of the national. Now that should have been your focus in terms of telling us how do you work against that? How are you correcting that? We see one biggest area that you must also address. Your spending patterns or your performance in terms of the money, it always seems there's a lot of spending. But when we look at what you are spending on, the value for that spending, we always have a problem. So which means abantu base goli banobutsotsi. So because there should be value for money. If you say you have spent so many millions, then we can calculate, we know the amount of a unit. So but for yours, you know, each time we calculate your spending, your millions that you have spent, then it does not gel. So I'm dealing with your past, which you should have assisted so that we know that you know your weaknesses, so that we know what if there's hope that you are going to be okay. So I'm just reminding your past that you didn't talk about, that we will know you for that. The good news in terms of your good past, you are one province that has more townships where there was none. You have delivered, I'm talking in terms of the past, not now. Now you are reluctantly delivering. You're not delivering the way you used to. You see, Stanley, Polizwa, see, HOD has just joined, so he's guilty because he's the successor in law. Otherwise, the real culprit is the two of you. You see. So, these many townships that are there, which is a proof that indeed our government has delivered in South Africa. We see them in Gauteng, new townships, new beautiful townships. But many of them title this even after 15 years. I can mention many of these townships, they have not received title deeds. What is the problem? The old townships that are more than 10 years, more than 15 years. Why are you not solving these problems? Why are these going forever? Are you sending them to God, hoping that God would now help you and deliver that dish? And he does not work that way. He has realized that people...
She.
Or she? I'm not sure. So, what we expect those that are employed to deliver that deed. We are not going to involve God. So he must do the supervision like we are doing. So I'm just asking on your old good work, because there's a good work in Gauteng. You have created a lot of good work. I think people cannot dispute that. So, but now I am not giving for 10 years, 15 years. I think the DG has told me that you are also fixing there. Some of these beautiful townships lack amenities such as the community halls. So those things must be there. The people that are meeting on trees should not be in Gauteng. In Gauteng, people must have community hall when there is a wedding. Burials must be done in decent places, not only in tents. So that should be happening. Why you don't spend when there's a need in many of these townships? So I think the HOD is aware of one. I think my colleagues have mentioned some of these points. The FLIPS, for example, is a program that I really tend to remind people, because the new government of the ANC has increased the number of people who are now lower middle class people and middle. They have now, the numbers have doubled. Other people are saying it's getting closer to 10 million. The last count, it was around 7 million people. So those people, the teachers, the nurses, the policemen, the officials that are working in government and the private sector, they also need houses. But in the banks, they don't really qualify easily. Now, our program, now I know how to pronounce it. So, we will think your numbers, your 1,000 does not really, 1,524 is not, if you were to divide that number by your five big regions, it means it really is not there. It's good for Johannesburg only, 1,528. But what about Ekurhuleni? What about Tshwane? What about Vaal? What about West Rand? So I think look into it. You know, the protest by the middle class would be worse than what you know, because they would also be wanting to prove that they can do better than others. So it will be destructive. So please assist them, because we have a program as this government. So I think, Chair, maybe hoping that... the last thing, we cannot read your document. You cannot even write document in Gauteng. So we only rely there. So if, when we want to refer, we can't see anything. I know I have sharp eyes. So please help us.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Gauteng, please don't disappoint Honorable Members. You know, when he talks about old, he talks about when he was still there. Honorable Horan.
No, thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for presentation. But I think this committee at some stage took a decision that Gauteng is one of the provinces that is performed very poor. And I thought today we'll be getting a better report. But one, I just wanted to check with the committee, the Gauteng, although it's not in the documents. Some of the questions my colleagues has covered me. It was not long ago when the Gauteng was a lot of unrest. I'm living in Free State. I passed Gauteng, and it was difficult to pass because of the unrest there. And I don't hear you saying anything about this unrest. And even today we heard that the MEC is addressing the community. I'm sure it's because of those unrest and try to come up with something for that. Can you just get the information on that? Maybe I say that's why you are saying Gauteng is performing very, very poor. Lastly, Chair, also it's not in the report, but I just wanted to get the whether in Gauteng we have a steering committee consists of the municipalities, so that you deal with this issue of the title deeds, because it's so important to us. Lastly, on this one of the
military veteran. I see the report talks about the grand total of 675 units to be built. But in the interest sake, how far are we with that process of building the military veterans houses? Because they are very important to us. And I don't think each and every year we'll put them. We have to have a stop of this military veteran housing. In the past, we talked about them. Now, this financial year, we don't want to see next financial year on this issue of the military veterans. They are very important to us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Thanks, Honorable Members. I think maybe Gauteng, let's not beat about the bush and explain to you the reason why you are one of the first provinces to be called is simply because when we were dealing with the National Department as the Portfolio Committee on the 23rd of May, we got a bit concerned about your performance. And unfortunately, your performance impacts on the overall national performance. One of the reasons why then we decided that we need to call you and present the business plan was sparked, amongst other things, by your performance. We also want to appreciate the fact that at least your business plan ultimately has been approved and you are presenting it to us. We are aware that you are one of the provinces that your business plan had to be approved last because of some challenges. This is the interaction we had with the National Department. Now, but that's for me, that's an achievement. Let me tell you why I'm saying it's an achievement, is that 2016-17, Gauteng, we had to send it back, if you remember, colleagues. When they came to present to us, we were very unhappy. We sent them packing. So the fact that at least you are able to come here and present a business plan that at least we can follow and understand is an achievement. Now, the important part is to be able to see what you have presented, if it is going to be implemented. That's what we will be watching closely. Now, two areas that I just want to comment about in your business plan. You are saying to us you are going to deliver 35,000 units, including social housing. I'm interested to hear how you are going to make sure that this happens, seeing that in the last financial year you only delivered almost 50% of this number. I'm asking the question in a way to say so that you answer those challenges that Honorable Memes was talking about in terms of the things that have made us not to do well. We are dealing with them in this way and this way. I think that's my question in simple. Because for me, because the amounts, whilst we are aware that the main presentation is about the HSDG grant, it doesn't talk to the USDG because that's a separate issue. But then if you look at the allocations that have been given to the metros, colleagues would appreciate that. That means that money is almost double the amount if you keep at the back of your mind that the USDG is not in this allocation. So the almost 1 billion given to Ekurhuleni is 1 billion plus USDG that is not here. The Tshwane amount is this amount plus the USDG. I'm raising the question because at the end of the presentation, there is a sentence that talks about the bulk infrastructure investment being still a problem. And I think Honorable Mganga tried to come into this, but not into detail. Because then, for us, the main issue we would want to understand is that the planning process, is it done with the metros? So that metros are part of the planning. Because most of the issues, because USDG grant mainly is about infrastructure. Now, if you're having challenges of infrastructure, particularly on these catalytic projects, almost 5 billion of USDG grant that goes to your metros, your three metros, which in any case are underspending on it, as Honorable Malazi has highlighted, they don't finish that grant. And you are sitting with bulk infrastructure challenges and bulk infrastructure investment that you want. You even quantify it by saying it needs about 3 billion. Now, the question we want to understand, therefore, is the planning cycle. Are metros appreciating the challenges that you have around the issue of the bulk infrastructure? And are they coming to the party? Are they sitting in the part of the planning? Because some of these challenges would be minimized if they are part. We understand that Sidibeng and West Rand don't have that USDG, but at least these three should be able to help us in dealing with that. And for me, that's the most important part. Most important in the fact that every time we sit here towards the end of the financial year, these metros are never finishing their USDG whilst we are sitting with this challenge. So maybe, for me, that's the most important thing. How do these talk to each other? I heard you when you said we're trying, there is an integrated planning, but I think we need to understand it in detail, in understanding. It must not just be a talk shop. It must not be just we've called them, we spoke to them, but the planning, do they appreciate what we are trying to deal with it here? Thank you so much. And I think other areas, members have dealt with it. I don't want to get into those. Just safe to say that maybe at the end of your response, because remember, we don't deal with provinces all the time. You don't come to us all the time. Maybe just reflect to us on how far you are in dealing with the challenge of the Friendship Town, which was put in front of us. Even if you don't get it into it in detail, so that we can appreciate that it is on your desk. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members, for the questions that were posed. I will try and deal with the responses thereto, but where I skip one or two questions, my colleagues will then fill in the other responses. Honorable Chairperson, I think we did say in our presentation that we have begun a process where we are planning together with the municipalities to ensure that we align both USDG and HSDG. Incidentally, our national department itself has been going to the various provinces and they've called us, the various provincial departments with our metros, so that even at that level, the process of beginning to align the planning for both USDG and HSDG happens. Honorable Chairperson, we now in the department have a DDG that is responsible for planning to really ensure that before we go inside and implement a project, all the processes will have been gone through, but importantly, that we would have had a session with the municipalities where we discuss the project and ensure that by the time we begin to implement the project, issues of the bulk infrastructure and other responsibilities and other obligations of the municipalities would have been taken care of. Fortunately, we have an MEC who's also responsible for COCTA, who is assisting us in ensuring that those engagements do happen. So we do on our own have a session on a monthly basis. We meet with all the municipalities. There's a technical ITR committee where we meet ourselves, but also there's a political steering committee. We must admit, Honorable Chairperson and members, that initially the technical committees or the ITR committees were committees which were meeting, but there was really no results coming out of those engagements, because we would meet, go away, come back, and implement some of the decisions that were taken. We've really ensured that they don't become a talk shop anymore, but that we begin to ensure that there's real delivery on the engagements that we have with the municipalities. In terms of the understanding of the municipalities, it's a matter that concerns all of us, Honorable Chairperson, because what we've discovered is that USDG is not necessarily used for purposes of infrastructure in the metros, but that what happens is that when USDG comes, it then gets allocated to salaries and different other departments. And this is why I think there have been discussions even at the level of MINMEC to begin to look at how USDG is utilized by the various metros. So it's a discussion which is happening at MINMEC level. As I said, it's a discussion which the minister herself is monitoring, but also the various MECs. One of the things we've done, Honorable Chairperson, is now to talk to the various metros to just check on how far they are with their USDG, because we're trying to avoid a situation where there is underspending and then money gets taken away and so on, and we don't benefit from that money. So we've been talking to the three metros with the MEC, just to ensure that before their financial year end, which is at the end of the month, that money would have committed at least to the mega projects that were rolling. And where there has been potential of underspending, for example, in Ekurhuleni, there now is commitment by the mayor, the executive mayor, and the MMC to allocate that money for bulk purposes in some of the mega project in Ekurhuleni. It's something that we're going to have to monitor ourselves. We must admit, Honorable Chairperson, that in terms of the monitoring, we've been very weak in terms of the monitoring. So it's an area that we've identified, that we've acknowledged, and it's an area that we must strengthen to ensure that there are regular processes of monitoring and ensuring that where there seems to be underspending, the department then intervenes early on rather than at the end of the financial year. I think in terms of the accruals, it's a matter, Honorable, that is of concern to us as well. You are correct, Honorable Tawasha, to say that there have been high accruals in the department. So it's something that we're monitoring. I think as Gauteng, we've got an unfortunate situation where people come from everywhere to Gauteng. And when people get to Gauteng, we then have problems of land invasions and invasions into some of our projects. One of the results thereof is the fact that we've had to employ security. And it's something that we had not budgeted for in some instances. And some of the of those accruals that are seen are some monies that have had to go to the payment of our security personnel as a result, as I was saying, of invasions, land invasions, and in some instances, invasions into our projects. In terms of low performance in Gauteng, it's something that we acknowledge. We have been lagging behind in terms of our performance, and we admit to the fact that DG and his team always remind us that when Gauteng does not perform, it means the whole country does not perform. In terms of what we're going to be doing differently in trying to perform as Gauteng, one of the things that has been happening is the fact that we've put, as an example, a project which had not been ready. We've put on the project readiness matrix, and we've been given allocation for those monies. And you find that there are issues which have not been dealt with, including, in some instances, your bulk infrastructure. And because of the fact that those projects have been put on the business plan when they were not ready, that money has then not been spent for those projects. But then somewhere in the middle, we then had to try and reallocate the monies and so on. With the assistance of the National Department, we've ensured this time around that whatever projects we put on the business plans are projects which are ready. And this is why you have 71% of our projects being ready. One of the things we are working together with National on is to ensure that we monitor the projects consistently. So we're not going to wait until September for us to be monitoring projects. But as and when the projects unfold, there will be a process together with National where we look at the projects and just ensure that the projects are ready and the projects are in implementation. DG was saying that they are concerned about the 27% where SCM process in some instances have not happened. That is an area where we are also fast-tracking. Some of the part of the 27% might be something where, you know, it's really just something very small that's outstanding. And that's an area that we are consistently looking at so that we deal with those eventualities. In terms of I think I've dealt with issues of underspending in metros. I was saying that the MC and I have been calling both the municipal, the city managers, and the mayors to say if there is money that is being underspent, let's then put that money into the mega projects. For the military veterans, the professional fees that are being used are professional fees which are not specific to anything in particular, but it's professional fees in general. Yes, indeed, we've also been not performing in respect of the numbers, the targets for military veterans, but once more, it's an area that we're monitoring. Already, there is a number of units that we've already, out of this 675, which is our target, there's already a number which which we've had completions. I'm not too sure of the number, but I know that it's a sizable number of units, because we were asked by National to ensure that before, by the 18th of May, there is a number that we would have completed, and there is that number. In terms of the title deeds, Honourable Member, all the issues that you raised are problems that we're dealing with, where you find that we still have issues where people are in houses, but if you check, the people who are in the houses are not the original people who should have been in the houses, because we've got a situation where we issue out RDPs, but for economic reasons, you find that people then hire them out or actually sell them out. I think one of the weaknesses which we're looking at is the issue of social facilitation, but also education and awareness to communities, to just for them to understand and appreciate that they can't hire out and sell the RDPs that are being given to them by government. But there are a number of instances where probably the original owner is deceased. Maybe they were the parent and had children, and you find that there are disputes, you know, in terms of who then is the, or who then should be the official owner, beneficiary. So we've got a number of, we actually have a very big number of those cases. In terms of, Tony will answer the issue of the 133,000. The question was, with underspending by metros, what are we doing differently? I think we've answered that one, to say that we're meeting with them and just really ensuring that we're aligning our planning. But as I was saying, National is also assisting us in that regard. Have we developed a plan for title deeds? Yes, we have. One of the things that I think Gigi spoke about earlier is the fact that there is now a task team initiated from National to look at all provinces and the delivery of title deeds by the various provinces. But even ourselves, we've engaged a number of conveyancers who are assisting us in dealing with issues of title deeds. We still have a problem, which is a big problem, of townships which are not registered, as a result of which we are not able to get title deeds out of those. It's something that we are dealing with. We've also asked the MEC, in his capacity as MEC for COCTA, to deal with it even at the level of MINMEC. In some instances, we have an issue of the townships not being registered because there are no roads, you know, there are no... And some of these issues are issues which we have no control over. In some instances, we might be able, you know, to put a road here or there, but it's not our competency, you know, so we still have a problem. But as I was saying, the MEC, and I know that National is also dealing with that that problem. In terms of the challenges we have, Honourable Wemezi, I think we've said over and over again that we have not been working together with municipalities, and that has been a problem. But it's something that we're dealing with. DG emphasizes this fact to all of us, even as he calls us with municipalities. It's something that he emphasizes to us. We've initiated, as I was saying, a process where we meet with a municipalities, at our level, there is a task team which is chaired by myself, but MEC also meets with the various MMCs and the mayors. But also, as I was saying, we now have a planning unit which is chaired by DDG Mulukume. He also, on his side, has an engagement where he meets with the municipalities so that the issues of planning are done together and that there is alignment in that regard. We did say that we've got issues of bulk infrastructure, and the question which Honorable Chairperson asked is, how are we going to deal with the issues of bulk infrastructure? We're hoping that in our engagement with the municipalities, we'll then be able to deal with that issue. However, Honorable Chairperson, we're not convinced that even the metros on their own will be able to deal with issues of bulk infrastructure. As the Gauteng provincial government in general, this is an issue which has been highlighted. We have asked for the intervention of the provincial government as well on this issue. So we're hoping that at some point in time, we will be assisted even at the level of the equitable share, so that it's not only USDG and in some instances HSDG, because DG allows us to use 2% of our HSDG allocation for bulk infrastructure. But the other thing that we're beginning to do, Honorable Chairperson, is to look at other funding entities that might assist us. But also with regard to our mega project, we're beginning to say, in instances where a developer says, I don't have land, as an example, and the municipality says, we can offer our land, instead of us then wanting money, we're then saying, instead of giving money to government, can you then look at putting back infrastructure so that we have all those schemes that we're looking at. But we will also look at other entities, as I was saying, Honorable Chairperson. GPF is also assisting us in regards to trying to get resources for, amongst other things, bulk infrastructure. One other challenge we have is the issue that I've referred to, which is the issue of land invasions. It's something that we're trying to deal with, Honorable Memezi, but it's a very big problem. You know, as we're saying, people come from all over, and when they come to Gauteng, then they want to be given a housing, because everybody wants a house, and they begin where they see land, to invade land. The problem is that we also have to deal with the PI Act, because once they've invaded and a particular time period lapses, then we have to deal with ensuring that we give them alternative accommodation. But as everybody knows, in Gauteng, we don't have enough land. As a result, it becomes very difficult for us to provide RTPs, and this is why we've gone up to try and densify. In terms of how we're trying to correct non-performance, one of the things Honorable Memezi were doing is to roll out on mega projects, which will give us scale. We define mega project as a project that will give us 10,000 units upwards. So this is why we're saying we're upscaling on those mega projects and actually trying to downscale on legacy projects, so that at least we have scale. But I think one of the things that we're also looking at, which we've, for one reason or another, not really focused on, is looking at issues of alternative building technology, because those are faster and in some instances more efficient than brick and mortar. So we're looking at all of those things to ensure that we will not be able to underperform rather. But also, you know, as we were saying, also in terms of planning, we want to be sure that when we say a project is ready, it is indeed ready. So we're going to be very strict on those ones. I think in terms of title deeds, Honorable Gomez, it has been decided that as the project starts, we should then have beneficiaries and ensure that as a house is built, if it belongs to, if Stanley Lubengo is one of the beneficiaries, he should then know from the outset that this house is your house. So that we're hoping that that will also deal with issues of security, us having to hire security to go and look after our projects. We think once we say to a person, this is your house and that's your house, they will then be part of the process of building the house itself, but they will also become security in that regard. NEC has said, and Minister Sisulu has also said, instead of giving people happy letters, let's give people title deeds. So as we build, we then begin the process of ensuring that at the end of it, as we give them the happy letter, as we give them the key, we also give them title deeds. But NEC has also been going around the province to launch title deeds, because we found that in some instances, the municipalities have title deeds which they are sitting with. So we've now gone to the municipalities to say, let's go together and issue out the title. So as I was saying, MEC has started that drive. We've already been to Ekuruleni. We've already done Joburg. And we will be doing the other provinces as time goes on. Honorable members, we will look at the issue of community halls. We know that every time we've been here, you've raised that issue. So we will see what we can do in that regard. I think the one you're talking about, we're busy with the procurement processes, and I think we're very advanced in that regard now. We also hear what you've said about FLISP. You are saying that we should look at upscaling issues of we've noted that. And we'll try and make the document look bigger so that nobody struggles. It's not delivery. In terms of the unrest that has been going on around Gauteng, I think honorable members will remember that Minister Sisulu convened a meeting with MEC Mashatile and the mayors of the metros to look at what it is that we can do to try and deal with the unrest. After which there was a meeting where we went with Minister Sisulu, DG, MEC, and the Mayor Mashaba to Vista UJ, where we spoke to the communities. And we listened to their grievances. We agreed that we would go back to them and we would identify land. Because I think for them, the big issue they were raising is that there was a perception, or there is a perception, you know, amongst the minorities in particular, that they've not been taken care of by government in respect of RDPs. So we have been engaging with them since then. We've identified some pieces of land together with the municipality where development is going to be happening. In other instances, development was already happening, but I think there was a feeling that government was not doing enough in that regard. We've gone to various communities subsequent to that. We've gone to Bram Fisherville. We've gone to Freedom Park, where we've been engaging with the communities. We've established project steering committees that we deal with the community leaders. Together, as I was saying, we've identified pieces of land where work is going to be done. We are going to be identifying resources so that at least we are seen to be doing some things for them. Okay. The question from Honorable Chairperson was that how are we going to deliver on the 35,000 plus units that we're talking about? I think we have said, Honorable Chairperson, that we're going to be looking at various measures. We're going to ensure that our projects, you know, are ready at the outset, but that we on a consistent basis check on the projects where we've got underperformance even of your contractors. We will then terminate and reappoint. So there will be that consistent checking. But also, as we were saying, we've also have partners like the HDA, where we've signed agreements with them to ensure that they assist us with program management and so on. And as I was saying, we're also looking at a alternative technology. I think I've tried to cover everything. If I've left anything, I think we can give Polly and Stanley an opportunity, and then I'll come at the last with the issue of Friendship Town.
Thank you very much, Eshoti. Stanley and Polly, anything you want to add?
Thanks, Chairperson, members, and DG and colleagues. I think Eshoti was just saying I must talk on that particular slide, but I think she's already spoken on it, on the 70,000 beneficiaries to be confirmed. She's explained what are the challenges, people that have practices that are not in their houses, so all of those have been. And then the 133 is exactly what member Memezo was talking about. On the township establishment, HOD has already said what are the challenges that we have and how are we dealing with those challenges, because the previous laws where we could build and then give houses to people even if they didn't have title, now they have changed. You cannot have a title if you don't actually have a road and all of those things. But then the MEC on the IGR is also dealing with those issues, and I think that is why we put those on the, the green part. But there's quite a number of townships that are still going through that process, and we're hoping that that process will then culminate in the overall number that we're supposed to be working on the MTSM program. Once those are sorted out, and then we'll be able to get the numbers that we are requiring. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Stanley, you are covered. Thank you so much. Okay, come to the issue of Friendship Town, then I hand over to the National Department.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the issue of the Friendship Town, I think Honorable Chairperson will remember that there were two issues that we needed to deal with. The one was the issue of getting a response from the municipality as to how the transaction happened. After we've been here, Honorable Chairperson, we wrote a letter again, which we had done before, to the municipality to ask them to give us documents on how the transaction happened. We are still waiting. We still have not received the documents. The second thing that we needed to do was to procure a lawyer for the Friendship Township, which we have done, Honorable Chairperson. So there is a lawyer that's consulting with the people of Friendship Town to really try and assist them in whatever they are doing. So that's where we are. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Just to remind Honorable Members, the Friendship Town issue was one of the petitions that we dealt with, that then we had to send it back so that they process it better, so that they can come back. So that's what I wanted to check, if there's progress on that. National Department.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. I nearly said Gautrain, but I, Madam Chair, perhaps we should be upfront in that we are very nervous about the plans in Gauteng. And it's really a simple issue in that this train, Madam Chair, has 20 seats. and yet we're trying to feed 200 people in it. If you look at the basket of mega projects and catalytic projects in the Gauteng province, by their nature, mega projects and catalytic projects have a long lead time. So what frustrated the province itself was in trying to load these projects in a 20-seater, when in fact you really needed to spread their funding over time. So that was the challenge with what is ready to implement. Yes, a mega project may seek to deliver 20 or 30, 10,000 units, but it's not going to happen in year one. So my analogy of a 20-seater versus a 30 to 200-seater arises from there. So we spend a lot of time with the department just trying to sift to ensure that what can be implemented this year is what in fact gets funded this year. And then the other aspects in the project then get scheduled in the outer years. So while we were nervous about that, we finally found the seats for the 20 people in this financial year. But added to that is this challenge. I think it's a real it's a very serious challenge, in that Gauteng as a unique province, it's the highest urban concentrate in the country. And therefore, we are not going to deal with infrastructure and bulk in a piecemeal. In fact, that requires a slightly different plan and funding. From the point of view of the national department, we've given the space to the province to say, use the allowable portion of the grant to fund the bulk. There's a case in point. Sidibeng is one case in point. So it's inescapable. The province has to, the department, in fact, has to unlock that bulk in order to deliver its own targets. So we basically indicated that the department should be able to put in a further 100 million rand in towards Sidibeng, because you have to unlock that regional bulk. But on the other side, we are also engaging the city, Joburg, to say a portion of their USDG must go towards that Sidibeng bulk. The reason simply, Joburg, the southern parts of Joburg rely on that capacity there. So we have to deal with that. But Madam Chair, we must put it on record. What is required going forward, the Minister indicated the same. We need the cities and the province to contract, not to talk, to contract, to say we are planning these projects. In year five, there must be such bulk. Let's agree. Who's going to do what in year one, two, three, four, five, leading to that? Unless there are those contracts, intergovernmental contracts, we'll be back here still saying the bulk problem is a challenge, the USDG misalignment. It's a very serious issue for human settlements in this era going forward. So, yes, Madam Chair, we are working with the province, with the metros on the other hand, to align the plans. What is clear is that there is no single sphere of government in South Africa that is going to successfully deliver a project unilaterally. You require the municipality, you require the province, you require the role of national departments. So this contracting becomes very central going forward. Madam Chair, the last part, insofar as FLISP, it's inescapable that the province who can and should be able to upscale. It's inescapable. And while we're talking 4,000,
we should actually be talking far larger arrangements in that regard, given the sheer scale in the province. And yes, there is room for innovation, there is room for adapting policy to the reality in the province, but those are matters that we will engage with the department going forward. Insofar as the business plan is concerned, the real concern from our side as a national department remains that 30%. That is still at procurement. What is likely to happen, Madam Chair, noting that it took longer to approve the business plan, that means it pushes back, in fact, it reduces the time available for province to resolve some of the issues. So we have a standing arrangement with the province, quite unique in this year, to be able to, on a monthly basis, be able to review and observe this progress, and where there are challenges, resolve them. Madam Chair, it's a commitment of the National Department to avail to the province additional tactical support. When we say tactical, it's not to give them planners, they have enough, but to give them a different grade of planner that is able to sit back and provide tactical input to some of the challenges confronting the department. Madam Chair, I'll leave it there. Yes, that's sufficient, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. I'll leave the DG to deal with one or two matters.
Chair, we have been very hands-on in managing the Gauteng business plan. One of the reasons why we took 3 weeks to approve it, remember it's the last one to be approved, was to make sure that we get all of these things sorted out early in the year, not later in the year. We have to get them done later in the year. Early in the year. In any built environment project environment, Chair, the three things that you need to keep in mind all the time is the time that it takes to get certain things done. If you intend to approve a procurement process in February and you do it in June, it's going to affect your targets. The second thing that you need to keep in mind is that if you don't manage that time, we refer to it as scheduling exercise, then it affects your budget, it affects your resources, and it becomes a little bit more expensive when you do it later. And thirdly, Chair, at the end of the day, the job of the HOD and myself is to keep our eyes on the product that we have to deliver for this year. We deal with tangibles. It's either you have a service site or you don't. It's either you have a house or you don't. And those are the tangibles, those are the products that are in the business plan. And if it takes time to approve the contractor and hand over a site, is going to affect those products. And if it takes time to finalize your procurement processes, it's going to affect your products in the business plan. Gauteng has 5 regions, the Northern Corridor, Eastern Corridor, Southern Corridor, Western Corridor, I think the 5 regions that they are managing. What we want to do is to keep our eyes on the pipeline, the construction pipeline in each and every region, is to keep our eyes on how the contractors are performing in every region, because we really want to turn this graph around. I think we need to deliver at least more than 35,000 units in this current financial year. I think we've been grappling for the last 3 years. We've talked to the MEC, and the MEC has agreed that we need to deploy some resources to the office of the HOD. The intention is not to micromanage. We have no business to micromanage the province or the HOD. But the intention is to make sure that we can identify risks early enough and mitigate those risks. Chair, the principle is very simple. All the three provinces that are doing well right now, KZN, Eastern Cape, even though they are struggling managing the cash flow, but they have met their targets over the last 3 years. Limpopo has turned the corner, Western Cape. The principle, the common denominator in all of these four good performing provinces is that the HODs keep their eyes on contractor performance. If one contractor slips in one region, there are mitigating projects that you bring in to make sure that you still meet your targets at the end of the year. eThekwini Metro, which is also a performing metro, which has been performing very well over the last 3 years, the city manager has had a model which focuses on the top 150 capital projects. In other words, every month or every second week, you look at your top 150 projects because those are the projects that are going to help you to meet your targets. And we're asking the HOD and the team as well to keep their eyes on those key projects, that if Project A in the Northern Corridor is not performing, chances are it will affect the overall performance of the province as a whole. So you need to come with mitigators early to make sure that we meet those targets. There was a question, Chair, about USDG performance. We looked at it yesterday as the department. We're still worried about your poor performance. But we were reliably informed as of yesterday that Ekurhuleni is sitting at over 80%. Cape Town is sitting at over 60%. Remember, metros are using your accrual accounting system. In other words, we allow them to continue up until the end of July to spend and commit contractually. We will assess the figures before the end of June and we'll be able to tell you which metros are not likely to spend the entire allocation. We think that the Ekurhuleni has turned the corner slightly. We deployed some resources there early this year. We want to do the same with Gauteng. And once we're comfortable, we won't keep those resources there forever. But we just want to make sure that we help them until we create a good momentum. But with your permission, Chair, we'll come back and present the performance of USDG. There was a question about USDG performance. We left with 3 weeks before the end of the end of the month. On protests, I think 3 weeks before the end of the financial year. On protests, Chair, the principals, the executive authorities, Gauteng, the two metros, and the minister, the national minister, have asked us to create a steering committee, which I chair. The last meeting was last week, where we received all the reports from Joburg South, because those are areas that are affected, those El Dorado Park, Annandale, and others. In Tswane, you have Itirilling in Atrichville, and others, Oliver, North Pooch. The HOD and myself, we chaired a meeting in Tswane almost 3 weeks ago, where we dealt with the communities from all the affected areas in Tswane. And there is a plan in place. For instance, in Itirilling, the main issue there was about shack marking and the provision of services. And people were saying, whilst we are waiting for you to find an alternative piece of land, can you provide services, water and sanitation and electricity, so that we can wait in a habitable environment. At the same time, we're asking you to expedite the markings of the shacks, what we call shack markings, because when you move them, you have to move them in an orderly manner, having marked all the shacks, all the dwellings. Unfortunately, in Itirilling, we were made to believe that the area is extremely problematic and we will not be in a position to upgrade that informal settlement. So we have no choice but to look for a piece of land. We've instructed HDA already to look for a piece of land There's another area which is very volatile in Tswane as well, which is Mahube. And there it's about land invasion. And we were assured by officials from Tswane that that issue is being attended to now. So with your permission, Chair, allow us to present the report to you on all the affected areas where there were protests before. We are on top of it, myself and the HOD. We've been managing some of the developments there. There are projects in the south. For instance, Seti Bing, you raised an issue about Seti Bing. We thought that we can allow the province to use a portion to go beyond the 2% to prioritize the upgrading of Seti Bing bulk sewer. There's nothing that we'll be able to do in Joburg South if we don't upgrade that plant. So we started talking to the Department of Water and Sanitation and Rand Water, which is an implementing agent, to find means and ways of upgrading the wastewater treatment plant. It's a leading activity. We can't build houses. We can't service the site until you upgrade that plant. So it's on the way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much to the officials. And hopefully when the department comes back to present that spending on the USDG, the policy will be ready as well. Remember, you owe us a policy on the USDG, so it can be presented both at the same time. That would also assist. And I hope officials note that the DG is saying the presentation on progress being made on the volatile areas in Gauteng in particular, they would come back and present a full report at our request. Thank you so much. Thank you, Gauteng. Unfortunately, you will be constantly on our radar. You might frequent Cape Town more than any other province because it becomes critical for us, because any hope of meeting the targets nationally, unfortunately, 50% of it depends on you. So it's important for us, therefore, that to see that you are on track, and so that areas that you are not doing well, we can be able to see them early. So you might have to come back. We hope that when we call you, you would understand and realize that we need to have that progress constantly. Thank you very much. That takes us to the end of that presentation from Gauteng. Just one more item before we leave. It's just the adoption of the minutes of the 23rd. That's the meeting where the department was presenting the fourth quarter report. That's the meeting where the idea to invite Gauteng and Northwest came about. It is because of this meeting that we saw that we need to hear from them. So that's mainly the minutes of the 23rd. Can I get a move in just a corner? Honorable Khurai is moving for adoption. And Honorable Gadimeng and Honorable Memeze. Okay, the initials must be corrected. We will be having a meeting next week where Eastern Cape Province and Free State will be coming to present their business plan. This also comes from the fact that they had a report, from the report that we had in this meeting of the 23rd. That's why we are prioritizing them. Thank you very much. And the time is 9 o'clock. Honorable members, the time is 9.